Good man, he calls us, Brother Wells. We've been up since about 4 o'clock this morning. Would you be offended if we did not come to church tonight? At that point, it was 5:45, and I was in the parking lot of the O'Hare Airport, and I told him, Brother Volan, I don't know if I'm going to make it to church tonight. But I was able to make it here, and I said, certainly we completely understand, but we're glad they're here safe and sound and looking forward to time together with them. I know the Davises are so looking forward to spending time with the grandkids, and I'm sure they will get their money's worth out of the fair, and I'm sure the fair will get their money's worth out of them. So, looking forward to having them here in service with us on Sunday. Sunday night, we will conclude our split sessions, the men with men, women in here, and then children downstairs. And then we will we'll see what is in store going forward. That remains to be seen, but we will let you know. It's a surprise. Don't you like surprises? It's a surprise. But next Wednesday night, looking forward to having Brother and Sister Anderson missionaries to Brazil that are going to be here in service with us next Wednesday night. And so encourage you to come and bring others as you find out about other people and their ministries throughout this world. I've always, even as a kid growing up, I always got excited when there was a missionary service. Now, much of that excitement was because as a kid, I remember the videos and the slideshow. You remember the slideshows that had the big, you know, the round thing, and it would click, and then it would. And then there was a mission, I believe it was the Abernathys from Africa. It may not have been them. I just happen to know they're missionaries in Africa, and we know them. But they had, or somebody from Africa had a slideshow that talked about, what they were combating in the sense of spiritual warfare and some of the witch doctors. And they had some of these amazing stories. And I remembered as a kid, whenever my parents would talk about a missionary coming, I would always ask, are they from Africa? Because I loved when we had missionaries that were coming from Africa. This is South America, if you know geography. And so we're just looking forward to having them here in service with us next Wednesday night. Other events on the calendar, please continue to be in prayer concerning our taking it to the streets. That is coming along nicely. We've put out advertisement. We have been sending out flyers and conversation with people. So we're getting good response, good feedback on that. Thank you for all those that took time out of your schedule to canvass the area and put our flyers up in different businesses and tell them to pray for them. We got a bunch of cards. And so we're just looking forward to that. And we want to make sure that as a church, we are exceeding expectations as far as what we are going to do in the event that we are going to have. And so we need your help in that. And most of all, we need your prayers to go up concerning it, that God's hand would be upon it, that we would make strides in this community, making connections. And so we encourage you in that. That is happening the 16th. And so a week from this Sunday night, this coming Sunday night, is when we're doing it. The flyers up at the back. There are extra flyers on the table. Please take them to your places of employment if they allow stuff to be put up on the bulletin board. And please get permission before doing so. We don't want to offend anybody, but there's been some places where they've told us, straight up told us, we're not a believer, but you can post your material. And so we're encouraged by that, and just want you to continue to help us in that endeavor. Other announcements available, letting you know what's going on. We are concluding our She's for Christ. It's kind of one of those things that crept up on us, and so if you would be willing to submit some funds that we can turn around and then give to She's for Christ. We really haven't done a big fundraiser this year that's actually on the youth. And so in our last department head meeting, I kind of said, hey, this is going to be your ball. I'm putting it in your court. And so in the future, they will come to us with more stuff to do in regards to She's for Christ. But if you could give sacrificially, it's a great cause. One of the great fundraising arms of the United Pentecostal Church is She's for Christ, and it supports so many different efforts, and so we encourage you to give in that aspect. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. One special need, talked to Sister Doris this afternoon. We received some very serious word in regards to Johnny Atkins, her son, and his health and situation there. We're not at liberty to go into all the details, but God needs to intervene in that situation, very serious situation, staring at surgery, and we just need God to intervene in that situation on Johnny's behalf. And so I would ask that you would pray for him. Anybody else, if you have a prayer request, why don't you slip up your hand and we'll call upon you. Sister Christy. Let's remember Sister Christie's family. Anybody else? Sister Dee? Even better router. Better router replaced the good router. All right. All right. All right. Sister Kelman, I'll get you, Sister Dee. Sister Chrissier and her family. Anybody else? Sister Davis? All right. All right. Anybody else? Why don't you stand? If somebody personally asked for prayer, why don't you turn around and lay hands on them, and as we go to the Lord in prayer, ask God to intervene, to touch. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you that we can come together as a body of believers. God, we thank you for brothers and sisters, God, who are here representing God, and Lord, here by a show of their faithfulness to you, God. And we ask that you would work, that you would move in these situations, Lord. You're able, God, brother, God, for touch in every situation, Lord. Sister Chrissy Eric, God, and Jocelyn, her husband, Lord, we know that you're able to work and move in the situation, God. And Johnny Atkins, Lord, we lift him up before you, God. Lord, we ask that you would intervene, that you would heal, that you would raise up, God, honor the faith of his wife, God, and his family who faithfully served you, God. Your will would be done and accomplished in his life, God, for other cares and concerns. God, mentioned here tonight for Sister Christy and her family, her brother Al is back, and her aunt, God. Oh, Lord, we believe and trust in you, God, cousin, Lord. We know that we can trust in your power, God, for Brother Caulfield, God. We ask that you would either, God, heal, God, or provide, God, a way through the medical profession, God, to restore. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God. We honor you, Jesus. Believe and trust in your power, God, to work and intervene in every situation, God. How we love you, Jesus. How we thank you, God. You're a healer. You're a help, God. One we can depend upon and trust in. Come to you, God, with anything and everything, knowing that you're able, God, to work and to move. How we love you, Jesus. How we thank you, God. We give you praise and glory and honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We honor your precious name, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're so good, God. You're so good. Your strength and your love, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we applaud the Lord for his goodness? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are continuing in our study. I have entitled The Biggest Little Words. We are talking about those little words in the Bible that make such a big difference. I want to apologize in advance if there are some editing mistakes. Sometimes when you work on one computer and then try to share the file with another computer, all the fonts and everything don't always translate correctly. And so normally Wednesday's the day that I'm up here preparing for this evening. So I'm working on the church computer and it translates pretty easily. But being away, I was having to work for my personal computer. And so if there's misspellings or something just doesn't seem right, well, just know that the motive was pure, okay? And hopefully it will all come together. But we talked about a study of how our responses to little words make a big difference. Initially, we talked about the word go and how when we respond to that little word in the story of Moses, how it makes such a big difference, not only for us, but all those that are connected to us. When we respond in faith and believe that while we can't, God can, and we go and do what God would have us to do. So we talked about how a big difference is made with the little word go. And then last week, we talked about big difference it is made with the little word no and how we respond when God says no. How that when we do so and we understand that it is not a personal rejection of us, but rather when we ask something that is not in God's plan, he rejects it because it's not his plan. We talked about the story of Paul and how that he requested that God would remove from him this thorn that was in his flesh, and God simply said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." In other words, no, Paul, not going to do that. Then we saw the big difference it made in Paul being able to respond to a church that was essentially, as he was reaching for them, they were rejecting him, and he was simply saying, you know, the more I love you, the less I be loved, but I'm okay with that. I've come to you now three times, and your response has been similar, but because I've been able to understand the rejection that I get from God is not me personally, but it's a rejection of my plan because it's not in line with his plan, then I also can bear the rejection of others. And so we talked about the big difference that being able to properly respond to God saying no, how it can make a big difference in our life. And so tonight we are talking about that third word, the big little word, if. If. All three of these, obviously in our English language, just two-letter words, go, no, and if. But how these little words make such a big difference in how we respond. Few words, if any, have the potential and possibility that is wrapped up in this big little word. If. Simply, if. It is conditional. In other words, if something, then something. It kind of... It can make or break a contract. Those of you that that work with contracts, you know that little word, if, can make all the difference as to whether the contract goes through or whether the contract does not, whether all the tenants that come after it are enforceable and applicable, or rather none of them are enforceable or applicable because of a little word that says, if. It is maybe even the biggest little word. Because how we respond, if we respond correctly to go, or if we respond correctly to no. How the difference is made in our life based upon our response to the little word, if. Want to, wait, before I do that. Oh, man, I hope you didn't see that. Because I wanted to ask a question. Does anybody know the first place in the Bible where we find the word if? What do you want to guess? It's in Genesis, I'll give you that. Sister Holly? Close. It's after that. Very first time we find the word if is in Genesis chapter 4. Whoa. Everybody give Brother Kellum a hand. Genesis chapter number 4. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now, question here, because I've always wondered this. And I don't know that I have a definitive answer for you, but here in just a few moments, we're going to look at what's called the Tanakh, which is the Hebrew translation. In other words, it's the Hebrew words directly translated into English. And so maybe it gives us a little clue. Anybody ever wondered how we know or how Abel and Cain knew that God had respect unto Abel's offering, but not unto Cain's? You ever thought about that? How did we know, or how did they know? They both came, they both brought offerings unto the Lord. The Bible says Abel brought the first thing of his flock and the fat thereof, and Cain brought vegetables, we guess, the fruit of the ground. How do we know? Maybe because God consumed Abel's. Consumed it. Like, in other words, like he did at Mount Carmel when he licked up the offering. Well, let's look. Just hold that thought. But to Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Here it is, very first time in the Bible. If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, let's look at that, verse number 7, in what was called the Tanakh. This is how it's translated from the Hebrew. If thou doest well, shall it not be lifted up? Which kind of gives the impression that that's exactly what happened. That when they gave their offerings, that Abel's offering was lifted up. It was accepted. Maybe even like the offering on Mount Carmel, that God consumed the offering. And they're both there with their offerings, and Abel's goes up, Cain's doesn't. Cain looks like, yours went up, why is mine still here? If thou doest well, shall it not be lifted up? And if thou doest not well, sin coucheth at the door, and unto thee is its desire, but thou mayest rule over it. To thee shall be its desire, but thou may rulest over it. First time this big little word is used in the Bible, God speaking unto Cain makes conditions. If thou doest well, shall it not be lifted up? Shall it not be accepted? If you do right, if you do well, Cain, I'll accept your offering too. But if you do not well, sin coucheth or lies at the door waiting so that its desire can be done. So, you have a choice. There is a big little word in play here, Cain. If you do well, it shall be accepted. If you do not well, sin lieth at the door. We've talked a lot about the plan. We've talked a lot about God's collective plan, God's individual plan for us. But let's discuss God's plan for humanity as it pertains to the creation of man and woman. It's found in Genesis 1:26 through 28. This is the plan of God. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have, everybody say, dominion. Dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Everybody say, subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. It's God's plan that we would have dominion.
that we would rule, that we would control but not be controlled. That unto the earth and all those things that God had created, that those things would be according to our desire. That we would have dominion and control, that we would subdue. That was God's plan. Now, we all say, and rightly so, that mankind sinned when Adam and Eve partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There were some things that were lost. Right? Seed that when sin entered into the world. But let me ask you this. The Bible even says, now they have the knowledge to know the difference between good and evil. Now their conscience has been aroused. Now they understand. Before, when they were unclothed, they were not ashamed. But now, who told thee thou wast naked? Now there's understanding. Now there's the age of conscience, we might say, and understanding the difference between good and evil. Let me ask you this. In regards to good and evil, did evil now have dominion over man? Honest question, right? God's plan was that man would have dominion. Man would be able to subdue. So let's look at it. Sin has entered the equation. Dominion is now the result of a decision. Catch it. Sin is in the equation now. Sin has entered into the world, right? But yet there is still a decision. Dominion now is based upon a little word. If. If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, guess what? Cain still had a choice. Evil did not dictate what Cain would do yet. If has great potential either way. Here's the understanding. Here is the beauty, if you will, of the big little word. In the first time it's used in Scripture, it's in reference to Cain. If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? Cain, there's two possible outcomes here, bud. You do well, and you are accepted. You do not well, and sin waits to take dominion. And unto thee shall be its desire. But thou mayest rule over it. Think about the power. You have the, think about the power and potential that is wrapped up in that little word, if. If you do well, you shall be accepted. If you do not well, sin lieth at the door. But you have a decision, Cain. If lies within your power. Do well, acceptance is the outcome. If you do not well, sin will be given dominion. Unto thee shall be its desire. How do we know the decision, what side of if Cain fell on? We know by what happened. We know by what transpired. Because when they came together, the Bible says, as they talked together, Cain rose up and slew his brother Abel. It amused me how that somebody not too long ago posted on Facebook about, they put on there, Cain used a rock to kill his brother Abel. I thought to myself, how you know what he used? The Bible doesn't say. The Bible doesn't say what Cain used. Just that he slew his brother Abel. So what happened? Well, that big little word came into play. And guess what? Cain did not well. Because sin then took dominion in his life. And unto these shall be its desire. Do you think its desire was to allow Abel the righteous to continue to live? Absolutely not. Now Cain rises up and he slays his brother Abel. If we follow God's way, the outcome is assured. But if we give way to sin, the control is forfeited. Oh, that's how big that little word is. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. But if thou doest not well, sin awaits to pounce. It couches at the door. And unto thee shall be its desire, but thou may rule over it. The power to do well. Think about this. Even after the fall, even with sin in the equation, the power to do well is still present. Think about it. It's still up to Cain. He still has the freedom of choice. He still can make a decision. If thou doest well, that tells me that the power to do well is present. The power to do right, Cain, is there. The power of choice. It is God's will that you have dominion and you not give dominion. But if you do not well, sin awaits to take dominion, and unto thee shall be its desire. The outcome was contingent upon the conditions of the if. Word is in play now. That big little word. The difference. You know the difference between doing good and doing evil. And you have a choice. There is so much power and potential wrapped up in this little word, if. How are you going to respond? Why if so often? You want to guess how many times the word if is used in the Bible? Obviously, we King James translated into English. What do you want to guess? Come on, give me a guess. 700. We have a 700. 700 going once, twice. Do we have a 666? 800. Anybody else? 1,000? Closer. 1,595 times. 1,595 times that little word if is used in the Bible. Many of those times, I didn't read all 1,595, I'm just going to tell you. But many of those times has to do in relation to us and our response to God, has to do in relation to our response to our fellow man. If a brother shall trespass against thee, this is what you... If this happens, if this happens, if this happens, this is how you should respond. If this, here a little bit, we're going to look at a lot of those verses that have that big little word in them. If reveals the power of free choice that God has given us and the potential we have to do either good or evil in our response. That's the reason why it's so often used. In essence, you can say God in his love for us allows us the opportunity and gives us that big little word, if. If. Choice is yours. There's so much power and potential and promise and provision, but it's all wrapped up in this little tiny two-letter word. Put some of the responsibility and accountability upon us, does it not? If. Anyway, think of any verses of Scripture that contain the word if. There's 1,595 of them. As it pertains to our study. You say, well, you threw that as it pertains to our study in there, so I'm not sure whether it does or not. Try me. continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Yes. Probably one of the most, if not the most popular if verse in all the Bible. Chronicles 7:40, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. If, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. But it's an if. There's so much power and potential in that. If my people. Go ahead. Confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from a perfect, another great example. Let's look at some. Exodus 19, 4 through 6. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. If brought you out of Egypt with a mighty hand, you saw what I did to Egypt. Now I'm giving you opportunity. I want to make you a holy nation. I want to raise you as a kingdom of priests. I want to make you something. If contingent upon response, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. Chronicles 7:14, we say, if my people are to call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then while I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This one. Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, man that brings his boy that oft times throws himself into the fire and into the water, brought him to disciples, and nobody can heal him. Jesus says, if thou canst believe, just believe. All things are possible. All things are possible to him that believeth, but it's if. The power to raise up. I have the power to, have the power to heal, but if you can believe, then all things are possible. If you can believe, then all things are possible. Second Timothy 2:12. If we suffer, oh, we like this one. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Man, those are pretty weighty words. Suffer with him, then we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, then he will also deny us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. The word is not in us. A lot of ifs. A lot of power, a lot of potential. A lot of possibility. End up in that little word, if. Hereby do we know that we know him if we Peter 1, 5 through 10. Beside this, now, these are just a few. This is just a small sampling of the 1,595 verses in the Bible which contain the word if. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Check out this if. For if ye do these things, you shall never fall. If you do these things, you shall never fall. I fall sometimes. Yep. Why? Because all the power wrapped up in that little word if. I'm not always doing the things that I should be doing. And if I was doing all these things, I shall never fall. If these things abide in you, they make it that you are neither barren nor unfruitful. If. It's all that potential in that little word. If. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and I will sup with him and he with me. If. How many times in talking with people, how many times in counseling with people has this word come in to the discussion? If you do this, this takes place, handle it like this, give all the power and potential and possibility that exist in that little word. If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? But if thou doest not well, sin lies at the door. So much potential in that little word. So wait a second. How can you put that up there? We've been talking about ifs. There are no ifs with God? What do you mean? What do you mean there are no ifs? There's 1,595 ifs in the Bible. How can you then put up a slide that says there are no ifs with God? Tell you that. Because the ifs aren't in relation to Him. The if is really contingent upon us fulfilling our part of the condition. God always keeps His part. There is neither variableness, neither a shadow of turning. The Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. There's no if where God is concerned. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is no if where God is concerned. You want to know why there's 1,595 of them in the Bible? Because it's written to us. If you will hear His voice and harden not your heart as in the provocation, if His part will always be kept. He will never break His part of the condition. He will always do what He says He will do. If you humble yourself and you seek His face, guess what? He is bound by His word. He will hear from heaven. There are no ifs where God is concerned. All the ifs pertain to me. That, my friend, is why it's such a big little word. You don't have to worry if God does His part. Play on words. You never have to worry. I'm just hoping God will work this out. Doing things according to His word? Because if you are, it's a surety. I thought I'd get some more amens. The ifs are not in relation to God. The ifs are in relation to you and I. It's in relation to us fulfilling the part of the condition. Because if we confess our sins, He's not going to say, that was nice, but I'm holding them against you. Because if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't have to worry if I get up dirty from a confession. Because God always keeps His promise. In Him, the promises of God are yea and amen. There are no ifs where God is concerned. All the ifs reside squarely on my shoulders. Because if I keep my part of the bargain, He will always, without fail, keep His part.
How we respond when God says, if. Brings about blessing or cursing, life or death, good or evil. The if really pertains to our response. The power and possibility either way is astounding. All wrapped up in this little word. So much potential, so much power, so much performance. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. If. If I allow you to stand, you'll know I'm closing. You may stand. Big little word. Tell you how many times in talking with people, I can think of a few occurrences specifically. They've looked at me and said, if I would have done this, if I would have handled that situation this way, if I wouldn't have handled the situation that way. If I wouldn't have done that, if I wouldn't have given it, God, how many times during the course of our day, dialogue with other people, that word comes up. If. Condition. If. Go to work. Get paid. God, on my way here, might be able to use an analogy that if you're speeding, you might get a ticket. But if there are no cops around, you may not. If. All wrapped up in that little word. Lord Jesus, we love You. God, I thank You. God, there's so much promise, so much possibility, God, so much potential. God, You always fulfill Your part. The condition, God, is always upon us if we will respond correctly. If we will do what Your word says, God. A faithful decision, God, becomes so poignantly understood in the life of Cain. In his response to the sacrifice in his brother Abel, God, let us understand. Within each and every one of us lies the potential and the possibility if we will just do according to Your word and what You have in store for us, what awaits us, God, is beyond our imagination, can astound us. But Lord, the inverse of that is also true. If I reject God, I do not well. In the outcome, I've forfeited. If I follow Your will and Your way, I can be assured of what will take place and what the end result will be. Lord, if I give control and dominion to the ways of this world and sin in my life, destruction awaits. Help us to understand the utmost sincerity, the power and potential that lies within this big little word, if. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in Jesus' name.